the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, the 12th in a series entitled Pages from the Living Book, was written by Joseph Mindell. Jeremiah.
Jerusalem are fallen. The stones ground into dust and mingled with the dust of 25 centuries. The sound his voice made in the streets of the city and at the gates is less than a whisper of memory. Yet I will speak of him, not for the sake of his world, which did not listen to his words, or hearing refused to understand. Not for the sake of Jeremiah, but because after 25 centuries, it is time for understanding.
Not you. No, not you. Let me see your face. No, not you either.
What kind of foolishness is this, Jeremiah?
Take no notice of me. I do not ask you to take notice.
Why do you examine us, one after the other?
I am looking for a man. In the city of Jerusalem.
What man?
One who may be called a man. No. No, it is not you. One who seeks the truth. Nor is it you. No. No, not any of you. I'm looking for one who deals as justly with the stranger in the city as with the brother in his house.
No, stop it, Jeremiah.
You think I don't know what you're saying, Jeremiah?
You were listening, Hananiah. I'm pleased.
According to you, there are no just men, no righteous men in Jerusalem. Only Jeremiah. There is no good in the whole city except in you.
You listen, but you do not hear. That is not what I said, Hananiah.
I know what you mean.
You know nothing. The good men hide behind locked doors, afraid of the evil that is done in the streets and in the fields.
Why does he say?
Oh, my people, it is not too late. Why do you doom yourselves and the city and the nation? Why do you... Listen to me. Don't go away. Stay and live, please. Gone. All of them gone.
I am here, Jeremiah.
Yes, Baruch. You are here. Baruch, I am tired.
Let me take you home.
Do you think I will remain at home?
No, Jeremiah. But at least you can rest for tomorrow.
Look at him, all you people. Look at Jeremiah, shuffling in the dust with a yoke on his neck like an ox.
What is he up to?
Who cares? As long as he stays dumb like an ox. Is the yoke heavy on your neck, Jeremiah? Never mind. Soon you'll be in your stall with a supper of hay.
Nothing to say, Jeremiah?
Come now, even an ox can bellow.
Why are you laughing? Don't you see? Don't you understand?
Understand what, Hananiah?
Jeremiah is taunting you. He shows you our image because for 10 years we have worn the yoke of Babylon. Because for 10 years Nebuchadnezzar has been the master and we his oxen.
Why don't you speak, Jeremiah?
Why don't you speak, all of you? Tell him that 10 years of bondage is long enough. that you'd throw off the yoke and be free men again.
No, you cannot. You must submit.
So you are not stricken dumb, Jeremiah.
Of my own will, I placed the wooden ox yoke on my neck. So must you submit to Nebuchadnezzar.
Don't listen to him. We will rise up against Babylon.
And fight alone against the armies of Babylon?
Egypt is our ally.
Though Moses was our father, you have not yet learned how much reliance can be placed in Pharaoh.
We rely on ourselves.
Then you are lost. For what are you?
Tell him. Remind him how Joshua led our fathers against Canaan, how David overcame the Philistines. Tell him. Don't you see? He has no confidence in your strength.
No, I have no faith in you. I remember that Joshua carried the Torah before him into Canaan. But you have forgotten the Torah. You lie. You cheat that stranger and your brother. You look at your neighbor wondering when he will betray you or you him. An army of such men cannot stand against Babylon.
Then you don't know the strength that comes from the desire for freedom.
Oh, you talk of freedom, all of you. But what do you really want? Pharaoh's favor, or your neighbor's land, or power to rule your brothers? No, I have no faith in your strength.
Faith! I'll teach you faith!
Stop! 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 Put down the stones. There are other ways to silence him.
There is one way. Take the yoke I offer you.
All right, Jeremiah, I will take it. Give it to me. Do you see how I break the ox yoke to pieces? So will the power of Babylon be broken.
But Hananiah, you have only broken bars of wood. In their place, bars of iron will bind you and all Judah. 10 years ago, you also rose up against Nebuchadnezzar. What happened then? Tell me. Or have you forgotten how Nebuchadnezzar came 10 years ago and carried off thousands of our people to Babylon?
I remember. My brother's family was among them.
And mine?
Hear me then. If you revolt again, this time only the fortunate will live to go into exile. Why will you die by the sword and by famine when you could submit to Babylon and live?
Yes, hear him. Hear the words of a man so frightened that he is eager to serve a foreign master. Jeremiah, your cowardice stinks in the gates of the city.
You are not like me, Hananiah. You are a brave man, telling the people pleasant lies they want to hear and closing their ears to words of truth.
Words of truth? I spit on your words of truth.
How dare you?
No matter. Death is already close to Hananiah and to all my people. Nebuchadnezzar is only the instrument. Death is in their blind eyes and in their own stubborn hearts. People of Jerusalem are wise.
Here, Jeremiah, wash your face.
Yes, they are wise in the ways of evil. But of how to do good, they have no knowledge.
They would have stoned you today. Another time, Hananiah might not stop them.
If they would only listen.
They don't listen. And yet you keep talking to walls without ears as if you took pleasure in uttering prophecies of doom.
You too, Baruch.
No. No, Jeremiah, I didn't mean that, only...
Pleasure, Baruch. Look at my house. Is this how a man should live? Look. No family. No rest at the day's end. No children to hold on my knee.
I am nobody. And I know nothing. But I keep thinking you could also live as other men do.
Can I? When the words of the Lord first came to me, I said, Oh, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my lips and said, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.
Yet, Jeremiah...
Yet you speak without understanding. He has overcome me, and he has prevailed. And if I say I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, then there is in my heart a burning fire. And though I struggle to hold it in, I cannot... Turn your face away, Parrok.
I am ashamed. I don't want you to see how glad I am to be Baruch and not Jeremiah.
Driven by his burning fire, Jeremiah returned to the streets of Jerusalem and spoke again from the steps of the temple. But his voice was lost in the sound of jubilation, for the people threw off the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar's dominion and rose up against tyranny.
Where is the word of the Lord, Jeremiah?
They mocked him. How else should those who fight to be free answer him who urges submission? How should heroes understand the prophet? Nebuchadnezzar sent his soldiers to put down the rebellion against his rule, and the sound of their coming was a fearful sound.
Close the gates!
The flash of swords filled the gates and the cries of the wounded and the wailing of widows. And then, silence. The silence of siege and hunger.
One loaf, half a loaf, I'll pay you well.
Fool, if I had bread, would I sell it? Can I eat silver?
The grain is ripe in the fields outside.
Then go out and harvest it.
Babylon eats our bread while we starve.
Be patient. Egypt is our ally. Pharaoh will send help. He made a promise to King Zedekiah.
Zedekiah is not hungry. He can wait.
He's thrown open his private storehouse.
Oh, yes. And allows but a handful of wheat for a family.
It's only for a little while. Pharaoh's army will come soon. Tomorrow. Maybe even today.
Pharaoh's promise and Pharaoh's army.
You repeat Jeremiah's lesson like a schoolboy. I tell you, Egypt will send help and...
What do you see, Hannah?
What
do you see?
Will you still listen to Jeremiah, or will you heed my words?
What do you see?
What I knew I would see. The soldiers of Egypt coming to save Jerusalem.
From the walls of Jerusalem, they watched Nebuchadnezzar march off to meet the army of Pharaoh. When the last faint trumpet call was no longer heard, the highest tip of the pennants of Babylon no longer seen, they ran outside the walls to drink from the springs of the earth and to take in the earth's harvest. And each day they laughed aloud for being free to come and go through the gates of the city. And they thought of Jeremiah and sent to find him. And they did find him.
He was in the gate leading to the north, Hananiah.
Nebuchadnezzar's army marched to the north. It's clear where Jeremiah was going.
I was not going, Hananiah. I was returning.
You were about to desert to the enemy.
No. I went to Anatot where I was born, and I have come back.
Naturally, you would have a story ready, so we'll hear you out. You went to Anatot, you say. Why?
In order... I had certain business there.
What business? Tell us what you want us to believe, Jeremiah. What business did you have in Anatot? He speaks not. Jeremiah is silent. And you know why. Because he was going out the north gate to join Nebuchadnezzar, who is our enemy but his friend. He still says nothing, but look. He brings tears to his eyes to plead for him.
Do you know me so little that you call him who destroys Jerusalem and kills my people, that you call him my friend?
Dry your tears, Jeremiah. They do not move us. In your twisted mind, whoever makes your prophecies come true is your friend. But you are disappointed. The fact is that we are saved by Egypt's army.
Pharaoh cannot save you. Execute justice, and you will be saved. Deliver the weak out of the oppressor's hand. Do no wrong to the stranger. Shed no innocent blood in this place, and then you will be saved.
Well, well, well. Jeremiah sings again, and it is the same cracked melody.
How long will you laugh? How long will you refuse to see what is plain to the eye? I behold the earth, and lo, it is waste and void, and the heavens, and they have no light. I behold the mountains, and lo, they tremble. And all the hills move to and fro. And all the birds of the heavens are fled. And the fruitful field is a wilderness.
I behold, and lo, there is no man.
May God have mercy on us.
What's the matter with you? Jeremiah speaks and your blood turns to water. Sergeant, take him away. Put him in prison.
Let him be, Hananiah. Maybe he told the truth. Why did you go to Anatoth, Jeremiah?
I will. I will not speak of Anatoth nor of myself either.
Take him away.
Wait. I'm in your hands, and I will not plead. What you will do is on your heads. But there was someone of you who spoke of mercy.
It was I, Jeremiah.
There will be none. Nebuchadnezzar will come back to Jerusalem, and he will show no mercy. There will be blood on the gates and on the steps of the temple. But when those who remain alive remember my words, let them remember also the words of the Lord. The whole land shall be desolate. Yet will I not make a full end.
It was as Jeremiah prophesied. Nebuchadnezzar shattered Pharaoh's army and returned to the siege of Jerusalem. Baruch wrote down all the words of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, and he also told what happened to the man, how he was cast into prison and given bread by measure and water by small measure in the dark chamber where no light came, and how one day they took Jeremiah to King Zedekiah.
I will ask you something, Jeremiah. Tell me the truth.
Now you are willing to listen, Zedekiah.
I must know, Jeremiah. Is there hope?
Open the gates. Go out to Nebuchadnezzar and surrender yourself, the city, and the people. Then you will live and the people will live.
Hananiah is right. You are a traitor.
Because I say the corruption of Judah is no better than Babylon's tyranny.
Do you hate your people? So do you love Nebuchadnezzar that you desire so greatly to be his slave?
Is that what you believe?
Call your guard. Let him take me back.
Jeremiah, I need your advice. What can be done?
I have already told you, and many times before today.
Still the same. Always the same. I don't want to hear about justice and righteousness. Not now. How long do you think the city can withstand the siege? And Jeremiah, for once, be practical.
Practical? You think you can overcome Babylon's hundreds of thousands with a handful of stones?
At least we fight and die if necessary.
There is a time for fighting and a time for die. But Babylon has come too far and is too strong to be overcome by arms.
Then we are doomed.
How much easier it is to be a dead hero than a man struggling to live.
Enough! The guard will take you back
now. No, listen to me. Nebuchadnezzar is not the first and not the last to come up like a storm in the desert and sweep the whole earth. But he will not survive.
That is small consolation to us.
The battle is not with catapults, not with instruments of war alone. Be practical, you said, Zedekiah. When will you learn the mighty strength of justice and righteousness?
As Jeremiah had said, it was too late. The walls of the city were breached. The city burned. The sons of King Zedekiah were slain and all the nobles of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar's captains swept through the cities and the fields, numbering the people. These to be bound in chains like Zedekiah the king, exiles in captivity. And these few to remain, a remnant in the land.
A voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children.
In the place called Ramah, Nebuchadnezzar's captain stood before the captives and spoke.
Jeremiah, I am looking for Jeremiah.
I am here.
Guard, remove the chains.
My people are in chains. I am not different from my people.
Take them off.
I have strict orders from Nebuchadnezzar himself. If you go to Babylon, you go of your own will and with respect.
Those people there are not chained.
We do not take them all. We leave a few.
Oh, thank you, my lord. We thank you.
And you, Jeremiah?
I will remain here, Captain.
But Jerusalem is burned. The land is dead.
I will remain.
As you wish. I think you're foolish, but no doubt you have your reasons.
Many reasons. For one, there are certain lands I bought in Anatote. I must look after my land in Anatote.
There's no need to shout.
I paid for the fields before witnesses.
Not so loud, Jeremiah. I hear you.
I have the deed still sealed.
Then that's another foolish thing. Surely you, of all people, knew what was going to happen, what did happen. The land now belongs to Nebuchadnezzar, and all deeds are void.
Fields shall be bought again in this land. Do you hear?
I see. You're not talking to me, are you, Jeremiah? You're talking to them standing there, listening.
Yes, to those who will be left behind. And to those in chains waiting. And to the exiles already in Babylon. Now listen. One day men shall again buy fields for money in the land of Benjamin and in Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, in the hill country and in the lowlands. For the Lord saith, I will cause their captivity to return.
Be careful. My orders are to protect Jeremiah the prophet, not Jeremiah the traitor and the rabble-rouser.
Then put the chains on me again or kill me. Otherwise, I will speak to my people.
Very well. Guard, the chain. Oh, no. No, never mind. It's not important. Jeremiah, your people are slaves far away. Your land is dead. Why should I care if you speak to the corpses who walk in it?
Come close, my people.
Yes.
What is it, Jeremiah?
We are not dead, for we have tears by the rivers of Babylon in the charred fields of Judah. Sit down and weep.
For that, they need no instruction, Jeremiah.
Long ago, the Lord put forth his hand. He said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth to root out and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, yea, to build and to plant. Weep if you must, but tears are not enough. The earth is ready. The season has come. It is the time to build and to plant. For thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate. Yet I will not make a full end.
The story is told, but it is not yet a full end. For if Jeremiah spoke in his world, a later world still hears his voice. And it may be that 25 centuries are little enough time for understanding that the might of nations is not in armies, but in truth, and in justice, and in mercy.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Harry Halpern, spiritual leader of the East Midwood Jewish Center, Brooklyn, New York. Dr. Halpern.
Of all the ancient Hebrew prophets who have left an indelible impress upon the life of subsequent generations, it is perhaps Jeremiah whose influence is most pervasive and whose words touch us most deeply. From earliest youth, he showed himself to be sensitive, gentle, and loving, possessed of a beautiful poetic imagination and profound religious devotion. Reluctantly accepting the role of a prophet, he called upon his people to forsake their idolatry, to repent sincerely, and to return to God. For him, invading armies and the desolation of war were not political events, but punishment for apostasy from God. He was unpopular among those who listened to the soothing words of the false prophets. The populace placed its reliance exclusively on the proper performance of the cult. external conformity was easier to attain than moral renewal. But for Jeremiah, what was most essential was a change of heart. Religion was to him a personal relation between the individual and God, and this was unaffected by the fortunes of war or the economic conditions of the country. Jeremiah did not hesitate to denounce even the king when he saw the monarch's faults. He cried out, "Woe to him that builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, that uses his neighbor's services without wages and gives him not his hire." He spoke out angrily against the false prophets in the well-known words, "They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' where there is no peace." To his brothers in exile in Babylon, he gave advice on civic responsibility, saying, "Seek the welfare of the city whither you have been exiled, and pray to the Lord for it." Thus spoke Jeremiah, a prophet in spite of himself, the man of sorrows, homeless, persecuted, and imprisoned, whose ideals have won the approval of the generation. Unappreciated by his contemporaries, he has been taken up by history and given the place of honor in the goodly fellowship of the prophets, and one may add, in the ranks of the spiritual giants of all times.
Thank you, Dr. Halpern. Our eternal life drama today, Jeremiah, the 12th in a series entitled Pages from the Living Book, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today were Lawson Zerbe as Jeremiah, Leon Janney as Hananiah, William Redfield as Baruch, and Reynold Osborne as Zedekiah. Others in the cast were House Jameson, Gilbert Mack, and James Monks. The narrator, David Loden. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Life will present The Shepherd from Tekoa by Harriet Cupp. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is directed by Kenneth McGregor and presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.